You're listening to Peel Talks Housing, the Region of Peel's podcast delving deep into complex issues around affordable housing and homelessness and efforts to help residents get and keep housing. Episodes will feature residents with lived experience, Region of Peel staff, our partners, academics, policymakers, and other leading voices in the affordable housing sector. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of the Region of Peel or the direction provided by the Region of Peel's Council. Hey everybody, and welcome to Peel Talks Housing. My name is Axel Villamil. I'm your host today, and the topic of discussion is aging and housing pressures in Peel. We are joined today by two amazing guests, Valdev Muta and Lisa Levin. Welcome everybody, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us, Axel.
Amazing, amazing. So I would love to know a little more about yourselves and what you do. So Lisa, go for it.
So I'm the CEO of an association called Advantage Ontario. We've been around for over 100 years, and we represent over 400 providers who are nonprofit or municipal of seniors housing and long-term care across the province of Ontario. So what we do in our association is we advocate for our members and we provide supports and resources to help them. And of course, through the pandemic, our role was definitely elevated in that respect.
Amazing. Thanks, Lisa. Valdev.
Axel, I'm the CEO of Punjabi Community Health Services. It's a multi-service organization in the region of Peel. We have three core streams of services. We provide settlement services, health services, and social services to the community. And we are also running an isolation and recovery center in Brampton as well. And on top of it, we also run a program for individuals who are homeless. We take care of them through housing, providing wraparound supports, so they are able to manage their temporary homelessness in the region of Peel.
Thank you. So it's clear that you both are well-versed in seniors housing and bring a wealth of experience and knowledge. So we would like to start off by exploring why seniors housing is important to communities. Let's start off with the first question, which is, why are appropriate and affordable seniors housing options important? Why do appropriate and affordable housing options for seniors matter to the Peel community?
So people's housing needs change as they age, and that's something that we have to keep in mind. So for example, it's harder and harder for some seniors to deal with things like landscaping or snow shoveling, which of course we do a lot of in Peel region. And also, it's hard for them to go up and down the stairs if they're having problems with their joints or their mobility. And then in terms of affordability, when they turn 65, often people go on a fixed income and they may not be able to afford as many bills and expenses as they did before. They may have needs like accessibility. So for example, some seniors as they age may end up in a wheelchair and they need to have accessible entryways, larger door entrances, and be able to navigate through their home without stairs. So those are a number of things that make seniors' housing needs unique than younger populations.
Absolutely. Valdev, what's your thoughts?
In terms of housing, so one of the difficulties we are experiencing within diverse communities, especially newcomer communities, is that traditionally within our cultures, children are supposed to take care of seniors. But for a variety of reasons, these kind of traditional interconnections between different generations is breaking down in Canada. Not that the culture is kind of not evolving. Culture is evolving. And one of the challenging impacts is that because of the housing prices going up and because of multi-generational families taking place, often there is often a conflict between different generational individuals living in the same family. So that's one challenging issue. The second one is the moment a family kind of breaks down, then the seniors who are newcomers to Canada and everything that Lisa has pointed out multiplies with newcomers. So language, culture, ability to cook their own food, how are they going to look after that? That is then compounded. We know that the newcomers, especially newcomer seniors, don't have enough savings. They have not worked long enough in Canada to be able, and many of them are not eligible for Canada pension. And even if somebody is eligible with Canada pension, unless you can top up your retirement savings, it's not practicable at this time to afford a decent living accommodation along with the standard of living that you're used to. So that is why I think Lisa is absolutely right that we do need to look at the needs of seniors and also needs of generally. I mean, we deal with intimate partner violence, and we know that when women are leaving their traditional family home, all of a sudden there is no affordable housing, so they end up staying in basements which are not conducive to their living, and as a result, they themselves sometimes are often at risk. Same thing happens with young people when they are moving out. So I think housing perhaps should be made a human rights issue, that everybody must have a shelter. In Western civilizations, we can afford it. It's a question of whether we are able to put our heart and mind into this situation to make sure that housing is on the top of the agenda in Canada.
Absolutely. I mean, you really touched on it right there, Baldev, is the fact that it is something that we need, right? And, you know, I actually come from a massive family of 11 aunts and uncles on just one side. And, you know, as they get older, I start to think, you know, what if we weren't all there for each other? What if you are alone? And as they get older, you know, things like they may not have a license anymore. These are the things that are on our mind as the young adults that are, you know, wanting to help out our fellow, you know, increasing senior population. So this goes to my next question, which is, what do appropriate and affordable housing options for seniors actually look like? What is missing right now in the current seniors housing landscape?
Well, I'd say that there's not one specific appropriate housing type, because seniors are people and their needs vary, just like anyone's needs vary. But what I could tell you in terms of what's missing in our landscape is something that we actually call the missing middle, which is affordable, supportive housing for seniors. So typically those are in apartment buildings where the rent is affordable and geared to income, and where they have supports like personal support workers who can come in and help them bathe, do some light housekeeping, do some groceries, provide socialization. And a lot of people go to retirement homes when they age, but not everybody can afford a retirement home. And so that's why in Ontario, we do have some supportive housing for frail seniors, but there's very little of it. And we really need to have more so that people can live in an environment where they feel supported, where they can wake up and someone comes and helps them get dressed. Someone comes and gives them a bath. Someone helps them eat, prepares a light meal, where they could go down into the recreation room and meet other seniors who live in the building and talk to them, because isolation, especially as we've seen through the pandemic, can be devastating for people's health. And so when you live alone in a single family house in a suburban area like Peel, you can become very isolated if you no longer are able to drive, which can happen to some seniors as they age. So we need to have these options, and we particularly need to have more supportive housing for frail seniors.
Absolutely. I mean, Baldev, what are your thoughts there? What are those gaps, the challenges? What are the opportunities here for the seniors housing landscape?
I think one of the things is that we have a very long wait list for any of these housing opportunities, whether someone can afford it or whether somebody cannot afford it. Whatever the options are, we still have a wait list. So that's another challenge that we have. The other kind of challenge is that what I have noticed in my long journey in Canada is that one of the things we have not done very well with seniors is their loneliness and isolation when they age. So that is leading them to develop some mental health issues. They develop depression. They develop, they age very quickly. Dementia sets in very quickly because there is a lack of activity, physical and mental, during their aging process. And I think if we really have to make a change within how we take care of our seniors who have contributed towards building Canada, a couple of things are very important. One, we need to figure out a way to connect them with the community better. So, for example, there are a lot of seniors who are well-educated, who can still, their mind still works well. They may not be physically capable of moving too much, but their mind is still sharp. They are able to articulate their thoughts, processes. But can we develop some intergenerational programming between young people and between seniors? Now, why I am saying is that if we develop these kind of intergenerational programmings, there will be sensitivity within our young people that, okay, so seniors are not some people that we can put away in buildings. That's not what we should be doing. These are human beings who have contributed towards building Canada. If we do not take care of our seniors well, then we will have that wealth of knowledge that the seniors have accumulated over their many years. It will be lost because the transmission of consciousness from one generation to another generation doesn't take place. So in order for us to make sure that the future is better for all of us, I think we owe it that the existing seniors are not only housed properly, not only that their mental and physical health is taken care, but that the successive generations understand why it is important to work with seniors. That, Axel, is, I think, the way to move forward.
I completely agree. I mean, as the young representation here, as the for the intergenerational, programs that you want to develop, I can more than agree. I think it's just a big conversation, and it's that lack of experience that the younger generation has, but senior population has this wealth of experience and knowledge and wisdom that sometimes, unfortunately, the younger generation takes for granted, because those are learnings that will help us make our way across our journey through life much easier. And we don't have to, make the same mistakes that have already been done. We're not here to reinvent the wheel. So it is so important that we have something like this and link it all together. You both did touch on this already, but I would like to kind of dive a little deeper, which is, how do appropriate and affordable seniors housing options differ from other priority populations? What makes the needs of seniors unique?
Well, I would say that you can't just say there's one right housing option for a senior, because seniors are people and everybody has different needs and desires. So I'm talking generally speaking, seniors typically don't need as much space as they would have if they had a large family or even, one or two children. They just usually need one or two bedrooms. Stairs are very difficult for many seniors, so ideally a place without stairs or an apartment building where there's an elevator. You want to make sure that there's enough room in the home so that if they're in a wheelchair, they can navigate around easily. And you want to make sure that they're around other people. So that's why it is good for people to be in an apartment complex when they get older, because especially if there's programs and activities in the building, so that they're not feeling as isolated. But I would tell you that most seniors want to age in place at home, whatever home is to them. And most people do not want to have to go into long-term care, although it is something that is necessary for some people when they get older if their needs become very complex. But as much as possible, seniors want to stay at home. And if we can let them stay at home by providing some supports to age in place, like personal support workers, like house cleaning, like help with meals or meals on wheels, transportation services to get them out to the doctor, to church or temple or other activities, and activities in the building, those kinds of things are what seniors need when they get older and frailer, so that they can stay at home and thrive.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had my grandmother, she went into a home, and even though it was a very nice one, and fortunately we could give her a very nice place to stay, and we went very, very often, I still felt horrible. I mean, everybody has a different opinion on this, but it's just the fact that it's not home, right? To at least in my opinion, it felt like a step back from her freedom, just like you said, Lisa. It is definitely something that I think we need to pay more attention to and what we can do there, because that those numbers you just let us all know are very, very, very high. So it seems like there's clearly a problem. Baldev, what's your thoughts?
I think it's very traumatic that we have to kind of know, address some of these complexities in this age. The reason why I'm saying it's very difficult for me to kind of fathom that we are unable to provide for those individuals who have contributed towards building Canada. That for me, it's very hard to digest. That as a advanced industrial country, we are member of G7 countries. We have such a high GDP ratio. And yet we struggle to take care of our seniors. For me, it's very problematic, very problematic. That's one issue. The second thing is that we need to run the existing facilities better. Now, right now, the seniors have a particular place that they eat between a particular time, then their lunch time, and then they have play time, or their own personal time, and then they have the evening supper time. Now, if we give them a little bit more flexibility in redesigning their schedule, perhaps they may feel a little bit more empowered, right? So depending on their cognitive abilities, depending on their ability to be in that kind of situation. So that's one bigger issue. How do we make the existing facilities much more senior friendly? We don't have the services that we can continue to be providing in their home unless they can severely subsidize on their own. So as a country, how do we address this problem whereby we can say, okay, we have this much GDP and we allocate to our defense budget, we allocate to our health budget, we allocate to our education budget. Can we not allocate part of our GDP to taking care of our seniors? Like, why is this still being debated? I don't understand. Like, what is the bigger issue? Maybe I'm just naive at age 72, but for me, it is bothersome that we are so rich. If we are rich, then why is this even a discussion point that we ask our seniors to kind of know, okay, we will put you here, we will give you 2 hours of personal support assistance, and we will have somebody come and shovel your snow, and we will do this or that. And now, sorry, we don't have anything. Now you have to sell your stuff and come back wherever. So I think those are some problematic issues that I think we are not discussing in Canada. We conveniently are not discussing because the governments become very uncomfortable, because the pushback that I have received from elected officials is, well, we have only so much money. I mean, we are putting in so much money into community support services. We are putting so much money into long-term care facilities. And unfortunately, we don't have any more money. And that's the answer I get. And that is not satisfactory to me, Excel.
So, Baldev, if I can add to that, I think you make some really good points. And what we don't talk about is that it's actually cheaper for people to stay at home with supports than go into long-term care. And not everyone who is in long-term care needs that level of care. So what we need to do is provide more intensive home care so people can stay at home with supports. We need to offer completely free day programs, Meals on Wheels, transportation services. Because right now, when people are at home getting home care, their choice is you can have a personal support worker come for free, or you can go to a day program, but you have to pay a certain copay. So that often discourages people from going into the day program. And the same with Meals on Wheels and transportation, there's a copay. But actually, if someone decides they want to go to a day program, that gives them an entire day where they can get activity and stimulation and assistance with medication management. And it's only slightly more than having a personal support worker for an hour. And so it also would help the caregiver get respite. So we really need to shake things up and look at things in a more very practical sense and say to ourselves, this isn't about the money. Because if it was about the money, everybody would be at home in home care, or at least a large percentage of people would be. And we wouldn't need as many people in long-term care.
Definitely sounds like a very much a systematic change. And that actually just perfectly segues into my next question, which is, how should governments and other key stakeholders be moving forward in the coming years?
So right now, the very popular topic is long-term care because of the unfortunate tragedy that happened during the pandemic with so many people getting sick with COVID and passing away. The government needs to look at the entire continuum of care for seniors, and that's how you need to address the issue. We need to make sure that early on in the continuum, that when people start to become frail and start to age, that they could stay at home with some very light housekeeping, people coming to help with the snow shoveling, help them maintain their lawn, and perhaps send them some Meals on Wheels or come prepare a light meal. Maybe have someone come once a week to help with other things as well. And then as people's needs increase, have the services increase. But quite a few years ago, things shifted and it was very hard and has become very hard to get that lighter end of home care. You have to be very, very ill to get home care. And even then, it's not enough. And as a result, 95% of people who are living at home with home care, who are seniors, also have a family caregiver taking care of them. And the reason for that is because there isn't enough home care on its own. So we need to change that. We need to have more home care. We need to have more supportive housing for frail seniors who cannot remain in their homes, who need to pay a more affordable rent, and who would benefit from living in an apartment building. Of course, we have our retirement homes, which are a wonderful addition. We need to look at things like co-housing. So more and more seniors are single now than ever before. And it's not just because they're a widow or widower. It's because they're divorced or they never got married to begin with. And so co-housing is an arrangement where people can move in together into a home and chip in together and pay for someone to help provide the supports I was talking about, meal preparation, light housekeeping, mowing the lawn, and shoveling the snow. And there's actually some zoning that can prevent that. And then the other thing, which I know Peel does do, is have programs where you can have students rent rooms in a senior's home because the senior might have raised a family in that home and now they're alone. And there's space there. And then you have so many students who can't afford housing. And so the student moves in, they pay an affordable rent, and they help the senior out around the house. And so that's a great initiative as well. So we need to get creative and we need to look at different options.
If I could have gotten my rent down, Lisa, by helping a wonderful, sweet senior person, I would have done that any day of the week. Absolutely. So very creative. Baldev.
Just to build on what Lisa had just articulated so nicely, one of the things I think we can learn from other countries is there are some other European countries that are subsidizing senior care by giving incentives or tax cuts to the family members to take care of the senior. So there are some creative ways out in the world that people are coming up with, looking at pros and cons and looking at, okay, if we don't do something, how much will it cost the government to take care? Versus if we subsidize a little bit, can that be a better way and a more humane way of looking after seniors? So there are some creative ways. So all the things that Lisa has said, I would also say, can we look at perhaps giving some kind of a tax incentive to family members to be looking after their loved ones? Can that be an issue that we can discuss? It could be less costly to take care. Just like Lisa said, that home care or providing little bit of assistance to keep seniors at home is much cheaper than taking that same senior and putting them in a long-term care facility, right? So those are kind of no models which already are there. The question is, one, and this is where my social justice kind of no personality comes out. What stops the government from acting on these? Are they waiting because they are being lobbied by for-profit companies to build long-term care facilities? Is that what it is? Like, why aren't we using these kind of creative initiatives to not only help out seniors, but generally our communities will be much stronger? So that would be my kind of takeaway from today's podcast is, okay, how do we all chip in to make the end lives of our seniors better? That's one. Can we then, while doing this, can we create more interconnectedness within the community where people of many ages can come together and support each other?
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like it's a collective effort here to make this change. And that actually wraps up this episode of Peel Talks Housing. I want to thank you, Baldev Mutha and Lisa Levin, for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on the show today.
For everybody listening, you can find information about our podcast at peelregion.ca, and you can join the conversation on the Region of Peel social media accounts. I'm Axel Villamil. This was Peel Talks Housing.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of the Region of Peel or the direction provided by the Region of Peel's Council.